I agree with Bobby. Beautiful song. Can we sing that about five more times? Can you hear me okay? I know sometimes when I preach, I put the mic too low, and some in the back can't hear me. So let's pray together. Father, thank you for an awesome worship service already. Lord, may you be glorified in the rest of the service and in our hearts and minds, our desire to serve you. Lord, may I be an instrument used by you at this time to rightfully divide the word of truth and to present truth to the congregation this morning, Lord. Fill me up with your spirit. Empower me, Lord, to deliver the message that you've brought in my own heart and mind. And Lord, help the congregation to receive it and, Lord, more importantly, to live it out. Now, Lord, our faith is about believing and obeying. And so, God, be glorified in this message. In Jesus' name, amen. So, two things real quick that I want to share with you before I get started. Well, a couple things, I think. One is it's a miracle that I'm standing here before you.
As I mentioned sometimes when I preach, that I was going to take all my sin to my grave in silence. And so I was destined for death with no hope, because I was convinced and deceived that I was...
Am I not on? Do you want to turn this one off? Maybe, is that what it is?
Yeah, it's on.
It's not coming through?
It's going in and out.
It is? I'm sorry. Do I need to lower it? Is that better? I can't hear it. That's weird. To me, I sound perfect. No, but I can't hear anything that you're...
Just use the...
Oh, man, what a bummer, because I wanted to move today.
Oh, we're good?
Thank you, Lord. He said we're good. Cool, because I kind of wanted the liberty to move. And but anyway, let's start over. No. So anyway, it's a miracle that I'm standing here before you. God in His grace, it's amazing grace. That's why I love that song. Any song that has to do with chains falling off makes me weep. Because when you're a slave for so long, it's just incredible. And you understand slavery, and you understand the scripture, and you understand what it means to be free. And let me tell you that when God sets a person free, He doesn't want to free you halfway. He doesn't want to free you partially. In fact, you know, some people think that we can go to men, that man knows the mind of man better than the one who knit you together in your mother's womb. And it just astonishes me that man could take you so far
in behavior modification,
but God wants
to give you a new life.
I mean, a new life where everything changes. Everything is different. Everything. And it's just, it's amazing. I can't get over it. I'm so, I'm just in awe of my life, my new life with my beautiful bride, and the deception that I was in, and the deception that many are in, and even those that are saved, that are struggling and wrestling through
types of immorality and sin,
I want to proclaim to them as one standing on top of the mountain, yelling down,
come on up, you can be
free,
you can
be free. And I want people to understand that there's a greater freedom to be had when you call yourself a Christian, when you're walking with Christ. We're talking about freedom. And that means free. We're free. Free from the power of sin that held us. Free from the cords that Proverbs 5 talks about. And it's just, it's amazing. And I'm going to proclaim this truth until God takes me home. That's the other thing. There's a couple things. One is, I just wanted to tell the women what a tremendous thing it is that you were able to carry
the children.
If you have had children, but for those women that have been able to carry the children, what a blessed, what a gift from the Lord. And to be, and I thought about this, that some of us men don't comprehend that interwoven connection that women have from carrying the child for 9 months. And there's such a power there, and I don't think it's something that us men can really comprehend, that the mother carried and cared for the child for the 9 months that we thought, oh, how cute, that belt and kick. And the mother's nurtured the whole time and watched what she's eaten and taken all these vitamins. I mean, the whole process is just amazing. And your body stretches out and your body gets somewhat changed forever. Some women can recover a little bit better, but I'm here to tell you that that your scars on your body, women, are beautiful. And you should look at those as beautiful because you're just like Jesus. Jesus showed his scars, right? As the price he paid for the gift he gave of eternal life. And women, show your scars and be proud of your bodies, the price you paid for the gift of human life that you gave. So wear them as a badge of honor. I see some smiling. I don't know if it's because I'm funny or if they're taking me serious. But seriously, wear your stretch marks, scars, whatever they are. And men, let's honor those bodies as beautiful and as a gift. A couple weeks ago, Sylvia and I were sitting at the table, and she told me, we were talking about speaking or whatever and preaching, and she goes, "Do you know who you sound like?" And at first I was like, "Oh, no. Who do I sound like?" I was like, and then I was like, "Wait a minute. Who do I sound like? Maybe it's somebody, one of my men that have been powerfully ministering in my life, like Dr. Walter Martin or something." And at the low, I was thinking, "Well, maybe I sound like Ezekiel Tucker or something." Oh, I'm sorry. Just kidding, brother. I love you. But so I went from one extreme to the other really quick. And she said, "You sound like Pastor Peter." Womp, womp, womp. I can tell from the laughter you feel my pain. But I couldn't believe it, though. I did not expect it. I didn't know what to expect. I really didn't. I didn't know what to expect. The fact that I sound like Pastor Peter. But anyway, I thought, I'd share that with you. I was just as surprised as you guys are, according to the laugh. So, but turn with me today. I'll be preaching out of Ephesians chapter 5. And I'll be reading out of the ESV, so it might be a little bit different than the version that you have. This is a passage of scripture that I've been meditating on for quite some time, And then Pastor, I was sitting in Pastor's office one day, and he put me in a slot to preach. And I said, "Okay." And so, Ephesians chapter 5, we'll be starting at verse 1, and we'll be going through verse 21. This is amazing. By the way, it's just incredible. The whole totality of the Word of God is amazing. But this Ephesians 5, 1 through 21 is just so rich. And there's so much there. I'm going to need 2 hours. Therefore, be imitators of God. And let me stop there and back up. I'm sorry. Ephesians 4 is talking about our new life in Christ and how to live it. Put away the old, take on the new, and to live out your Christianity. And then it goes into Ephesians chapter 5. And so he says, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. And walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of God, or in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience.
Therefore,
do not become
partakers or partners with them.
For at one time you were darkness,
but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light.
For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ,
submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ.
Whew.
That's a mouthful. That is amazing.
It's amazing and beautiful, and there's so much, as I said, it's just so rich. I love the therefores in verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God, or be a follower of God. Verse 7, therefore, do not become partakers with them. And verse 17, therefore, do not be foolish. Therefore, be an imitator of God. Be a follower.
People should easily see
something drastically different about you and me. Shouldn't they?
Yes.
Isn't this what it means to imitate God? Or to be a follower? Isn't that the same as allowing our light to shine? Shouldn't they see something different? Are you an imitator of God?
A follower?
Therefore, do not become partakers with them. But we're to be partakers of the divine nature. Are you a partaker of the divine nature? 2 Peter 1, 3 through 4 says, His divine power has granted to us things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. So the way of escape from sinful desires is to become a partaker of the divine nature. If you don't think that the divine nature or God Himself is enough to escape the corruption that is in the world and the corruption of sin that we're born in, then you'll never get anywhere, because you have to believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Therefore, do not be foolish, but
understand what the will of the Lord is.
Amazing
to me. I love this. Be an imitator of God, and being an imitator of God
is one who walks in love as Christ did, we see here. Offering. There's three words there. Offering, sacrifice, and thanksgiving. That's what it says in the text. That's what it means to walk in love. Offering, sacrifice,
and thanksgiving. Does that sound like you?
Maybe you're not partaking of the divine nature. This is opposed to what we see
in verses 3 and 4.
We see the three things: sexual immorality,
impurity, and covetousness. As opposed
to what we saw for love. Incredible to me that that would be the opposing dynamic to love. But sexual immorality and all impurity, verse 3,
or covetousness must not even be named
among you,
as is proper
among saints. Verse 4, let there be no filthiness, foolish talk, or crude joking. And these, from what I see here, is the outflow of sexual immorality
is filthiness,
foolish talk, and crude joking. And I'm around this all the time. I see this at work. You see this in the world. Those that are trapped by immorality, just crude joking and things that cannot be named
or talked about in a nonchalant way, disrespecting women, dishonoring them, dishonoring the Lord. It goes hand in hand
with this immorality. He says that they're out of place.
Is that true in your life? Are these things out of place for you? Or do you participate in those things? But instead, I love that.
Verse 4, but instead, let there be thanksgiving. You see, when you have a thankful heart and you're thankful and you're appreciative of life, these are a deterrent from these types of behavior, aren't they? Because you're ungrateful.
When we're wrapped up in sin.
All types. It's the opposite of thanksgiving. I wrote here, thanksgiving then, or being thankful, or having a thankful heart, is taken from you with your involvement with sexual immorality, impurity, and covetousness,
and tied to filthiness, foolish
talk, and crude joking.
Verse
2 talks about love, then followed immediately, like I said,
by sexual immorality, impurity, and covetousness.
Love is to give, right? Love's a giver. And these things here are takers, the exact opposite of love. Me, me, and more of me. That's enough about you. Let's talk about me. That's what immorality is. That's what it means to impurity and this covetousness, desiring that which isn't yours and doesn't belong to you. These sins
are the opposite of love.
I personally can't see it any other way. The years that I was wrapped up in immorality, I can truly analyze that from a distance now. And my wife and I just talked about it the other night that I said, did you sense any love for me when I was into immorality? And the answer was no. And she got it right. I mean, I could do good things. Pastor talked about it today in the adult class, that you could do good things. I was doing good things for my wife, but there was an absence of love, because this immorality is the opposite of that. It's to take and to be focused on me. Love is to give. Are you a giver? Or a taker? Does life revolve all about you? Or do you love others? Analyze yourself and examine yourself to see where you're at. Be honest. There's freedom to be had.
to me,
immorality, it's the only sin that I can see that breaks all 10 commandments instantly. Instantly. You break all 10. I wrote an article called The 10 Commandments of Pornography. I didn't post it to my blog yet because I'm trying to get it right. And when I mention pornography, I know what some of you say. Oh, we're not involved in pornography. Really? Good for you. That's great.
I'm proud of
you. I really am. But do you lust after other people?
Do you
look at them inappropriately? Because that's just as bad. What did Christ say about that? He said that was an adultery of the heart. You look at women in an unholy way? Or women, do you look at men in an unholy way? That's lusting, and that's a sin. Likened to adultery. It's just not physical adultery. It's adultery of the heart. Did you know that this was the best kept secret in the church? Or is this a revelation to you today?
Immorality
is the best kept secret in the church.
And this
isn't from my own observation. This is from a man by the name of Stephen Gallagher, who we got some literature back there. He started a men's group the same year I got married. And he's been ministering to men for over 30 years in immorality.
And so we're talking everybody from pastors to
everybody that makes up the church. No one is immune unless you are a true follower of Christ and abiding in the vine and under accountability. Then you shouldn't have any fear of being taken away by this immorality. You see, this stuff, it destroys internally. And that's why I wrote another article that says, that's
called The Flames of Lust.
Being a fireman for a long time, I recognized that there was an internal, there was something about lusting and fire that was very similar. And it's, first of all, the destruction happens internally. Same with fire. You don't immediately see a fire in a building, but once it grows in power, you're going to see it through it'll
breach the roof, it'll breach
windows or doors or doorways, and then you'll see flames and smoke and that kind of thing, but you won't see it initially. It's the same thing with immorality. It is combusting internally inside, then it goes to what we call a free-burning state. With fire, there's a free-burning state where everybody can see it. Hey, look, that building's on fire. And you may recognize it because that's the height of immorality. You're like, oh, I can't get enough. I got to go look at stuff, and I just got to sin. And that's the height. That's the free-burning state of immorality internally. And the most dangerous part of immorality is you to suppress it and think that you don't have an issue. Because I've been a good boy or a good girl for the last couple months. And that, I liken that to the smoldering stage, the most dangerous stage for a firefighter. All it needs is a rush of oxygen, and it will explode and kill people. And the same thing internally with the suppression of immorality and denial that you don't have an issue because you've been a good boy or girl for a couple months, or maybe even a whole year, or whatever. But when that rush comes in, boom, you explode and down you go. And isn't it interesting that immorality internally will eventually show the outward signs, just like a fire and a collapsed building, of your collapsed marriage and destroyed families. Don't tell me, all of us know of families right now
devastated by immorality, don't you? And I've partnered
with some in our church to pray for their children and to pray for their husbands and to counsel them by phone. So if you don't see it, let me tell you that I'm seeing it. And it's killing the family. Maybe you do see it. I don't know. I don't hear anybody come up and tell me after I preach. I beg you for prayer. Every time I preach, I beg, come. Let me pray for you. Let me weep with you. Let me feel your pain. Let me help you. There they go. Again, they're all leaving. My heart is grieved. Believe me, I understand the embarrassment. I get it. I lived it. But I'm sorry for you if you're going to do that again today. And I'm actually afraid for you if you're going to do that again today. If you want to help people, you must be equipped to help. If you really care about people, there is plenty, trust me when I say this, there is plenty of people in our own congregation and community that need help. And if you care, then you'll get equipped and get ready to help. They need us. I needed somebody. But I was too blockheaded to open my mouth. And so my wife got to suffer for many more years because of my blockheadedness and my pride. Don't be like me. Verse 5, for you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous has zero inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Verse 6, let no one deceive you with empty words. I find that to be a fascinating passage. That's a fascinating statement to me. To me, I wrote, what an interesting choice of words. Let no one deceive you with empty words. It's like saying, those who make these things, I've talked about their practice, are going to try to talk their way into the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. But because of these things, the wrath of God comes on the sins of disobedient. 1 Corinthians 4:19 and 20 says, I will come to you soon, Paul says. This is Paul speaking. I will come to you soon if the Lord wills. And I will find out not the talk of these arrogant people, but their power. Verse 20, for the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power. See that? Does your life consist in talk or in power of the Holy Spirit that's changed your life? You can try to talk your way, but you'll never talk your way into the kingdom. And for those that think that they can practice immorality and think they're going to somehow escape God's notice. And let me stop right there just for a second, because if you are a believer and you are struggling to get out of immorality, that's a different matter. But if you have made immorality your practice and you're thinking that God is going to somehow overlook your sin, see, you need to be smashed before the Lord. You have to repent. And repentance means that you are absolutely broken to 1,000 pieces before God in sorrow. Because you have not sinned against man alone, but you have sinned against a holy God that's not going to put up with it. Verse 7, do not become partners with them.
Verse 8, for at one time you were darkness, But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Verse 9, for the
fruit of light. That's where the fruit is anyway, isn't it? There's fruit in light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. Verse 10, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Verse 11,
in contrast
to verse 9,
take no part
in the unfruitful, there's where there's a lack of fruit,
unfruitful works of
darkness, zero fruit. So are you walking in darkness with zero
fruit,
or are you walking in the light where there is fruit? But instead, we're to expose them. I love that. I love the contrast between light and darkness. You see, when you're in total darkness, let's say you're in total darkness. It means you don't know the Lord. You can't see any light whatsoever. You become a Christian, and when you're in the darkness, you can see a glimmer of light. And as you walk towards that light and you grow towards that light, next thing you know, you're in the light. I'm in the light. I'm free. Now, when you're in the light, isn't it interesting that you can't see a glimmer of darkness from the light? You can't see darkness at all. You're out of the darkness. So you may be in total darkness and unsaved, or seeing a glimmer of light and moving or sliding or walking towards the light. And you'll know when you're walking in the light, because this is the freedom that I'm talking about. This is where you can run around the sanctuary. This is where you can say it, the power of darkness has lost its hold on my life. I no longer have to practice the things done in secret and in the darkness. And it's just, see, I can't keep my mouth shut. I'll never be able to keep silent over this, because it is an amazing thing to be walking in the light and no longer in darkness. Verse 12
says, for it's even shameful to speak of the things done in secret, or that they do in secret. Verse 13, but when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible.
It's like we're talking about. It's visible.
For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper. Isn't that awesome? Awake,
O sleeper, and rise from the dead. That's what God wants to do with you. And Christ will shine on you. John 3:19-21 says, and this is the judgment,
or the verdict. The light has come into the world,
and people loved
darkness
rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who
does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light,
so that it may be
clearly seen. Isn't this awesome? That his works have been
carried out in
God. So who gets
all the praise?
His works are carried
out in
God.
The grace of God in action. Life. Jesus said, it was very clear. Very clear. And I love these scriptures that are so to the point you cannot miss it at all. And if you do, then I don't get it. He said, follow me. Right? And then if you follow me, you will never walk in darkness. How long's never? That's never. You're not going to. No longer there. You're following me. In him is light. There is no darkness at all. If you follow him, you will not walk in darkness. Verse 15, look carefully then how you walk. I love that. Look carefully how you walk. Not as unwise, but wise. Let's continue on there. Making the best use of the time.
Because the days are evil.
Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is.
Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled
with the Spirit. Addressing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. It's just a mouthful in here. Be filled with the Spirit. When you are filled with the Spirit, these things will eventually come naturally to you. And I love that because some of this is a parallel to Romans 1 in the beginning of this Ephesians 5. There's a parallel to Romans 1. And then here,
there's a parallel to
Galatians 5. About being filled in the Spirit. And about walking in the Spirit. Another one. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the
flesh. Will not.
And did you notice in that same thing, here we talked about love and immorality. And in Galatians 5, it says the same thing. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. The very first one. But the deeds of the flesh are, here we go again,
sexual immorality, number uno.
As opposed, again, love is a giver. Immorality is a taker. We need to
learn to become givers.
Is this a surprise to you, by the way, that when you're filled with the Spirit, that you would
sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, making melody to your heart?
And in your heart to the Lord? Do you ever do that? Because if you don't, I'm sad for you. You need more. You need to be filled with the Spirit. You need to pursue the Lord so that He could fill you up to overflowing. And that's why sometimes I'll run around the house leaping from thankfulness and gratefulness. And it's a joy to sing songs and hymns in your heart to the Lord when you're at work or you're out in the community or whatever it might be. You're just overjoyed and because you're filled with the Spirit. But if
you're not filled with
the Spirit, as opposed to being filled with you,
these are going to be non-existent in your life.
You're not going to have joy. You're not going to have thankfulness.
You're not going to have thanksgiving
in your heart. I want to go over the three L's
of walking here in this passage
of Scripture.
That's love,
light, and look. This is what
the passage says, the
three L's of walking. Pastor preached part of my sermon in his Bible study. It was hilarious. I love how God does that and works things together. Children naturally imitate their parents, don't they? I mean, just naturally they do. They follow you and they do whatever you do. They do whatever you do. You do, I want to do that. Why? Because they're imitators. They're imitators. Be imitators of God, but what you do in your daily routine. This is how you walk. It's not really how I'm walking, but how I'm living. How am I living every day, day to day? What is my behavior? What are the things I'm doing? This is how you walk. You're walking. The things you do in life every day determines who you're walking with. We walk a lot too, don't we? We walk everywhere. We walked in here. We walk around the house. We walk at work. Our life is all about walking. So how you doing? Let your way of life be a reflection of who you imitate by how you walk. Verse 2 says, walk in love. Verse 8 says, walk as children of light.
And verse 15 says, look carefully then how you walk.
What's your way of life? So you don't just stumble into immorality, you walk there. You're not looking carefully. You're not walking in love.
You're not walking in light. It's the exact opposite.
That's why he says, look carefully where you're going. We'll go over them again. Verse 2.
Walk in love as opposed to walking without. This is opposed here.
Walk in love as opposed to walking without offering, without sacrifice, and without thanksgiving.
Verse 8, walk as children of
light as opposed
to walking as
children of darkness in sexual immorality, impurity, and covetousness. Verse
15, look carefully.
Then how you walk as opposed to walking
without looking where
you are going. All of us would say that that would be nonsense, wouldn't it? And yet, some of us are doing that. We're not looking carefully how we are walking. In closing,
I'm going to say,
therefore, be imitators of God.
Therefore,
do not become partakers with them. And therefore, do not be foolish.
Understand what the will
of the Lord is. God is the God of love, life, and liberty. Paul said in 1 Timothy 1:5, he said, the aim of our charge
is love
that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. My charge to you today is you have a greater freedom to walk in than where you're at now. Don't leave today the same as you walked in. Look carefully as you leave today. Know that you can have a greater freedom. I mean, isn't it astonishing to you that the God who created the universe would limit himself, take on human skin and human form, and then allow you and I to hang him on a cross? What? Sacrifice, an offering, something Jesus did willingly to take away the sin of humanity. If you're not forgiven by Christ, you are in deep, deep trouble. And if your mind hasn't been transformed, you know what, young people, I forgot about you. I wanted to say something to you. Let me see them all. Let me have the young people stand up. You're 15 and younger. Please just stand up real quick. Hurry up. Quickly. You too, Audra. I don't care how old you are. Get up. I seen you looking at your mom. Where's the young people? This is all the young people we have here right now. Let me see your faces. Let me see your faces real quick. Oh, Chris, thanks for standing up. Let me see. Oh, look how precious these ones are. Sit down. Stand up. No, I'm kidding. I just got to see something precious that you didn't see. And my heart is broken. How are we going to protect these ones? How are you going to protect these ones if you don't know how to protect them from immorality? That's probably in your home and you don't even know it. Through your Wi-Fi, through phones, through this sexting on phones, in their minds. Can you teach your children how to take their thoughts captive? Can you teach your children how to flee immorality? Because you cannot just flee immorality. You can't teach that, you see? You could say, oh, read the scripture. Flee immorality. But you see, the key to fleeing immorality is to believe God. You cannot flee immorality unless you believe God, friends. Did you see Joseph? How can I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? He knew what it was going to take. And that's the only way. If you know God, then you can flee immorality. In your flesh, you can never flee immorality. You're stuck. You have to believe God that marriage means something. You have to believe God that everything outside of the context of marriage sexually is sin, whether it be in your mind or whether it be by action. All of us that have had premarital sex have sinned. All of us that have looked lustfully have sinned. All of us that are in relationships now that are dishonoring to your body, the one that Christ paid for, is sin, and you need to get out of there. You need to do whatever it takes to leave and repent and be broken before God. Did you see David? How he was broken before God when he was confronted by Nathan the prophet? He broke. God is close to the brokenhearted. When's the last time you wept over your sin? I mean, really, when's the last time it grieved your heart?
Like it grieves God's heart. When are you going to
let me pray for you? When are you going to call on me to help you?
When are you going to knock on my door and say, Eric, I'm sick of this immorality. Please help me.
Or are you going to be arrogant and prideful like I was as a youth leader and a big shot that was chained to the chairs of the pews in the church and judging the pastor? Are you going to leave here the same? Or are you going to be an imitator of God? I'm going to say, I'm not moving right here until you come up. I'm not leaving. I can outlast you. But seriously, if God has
so moved your heart, come up, let me pray with you. Let me meet with you. A little surprise to my wife, Silly. Come on up for a minute. Women, come pray with my wife.
Sorry, honey.
Come pray with me.
Is there anybody brave enough to do so? I know for a fact that there's ones in here and they're moving now. I know for a fact. You see, I know this. And God bless you for being bold enough and brave enough to come forward. I'm going to move over here on this side. And I want people to stay separate from my wife and I right now so that we can pray for people. And I'm going to ask Pastor Peter to come up in a few minutes, whenever he feels led, to come up and lead us through communion. And you have a choice. You can come see myself or Sylvia and get right and ask for help. Or you can suppress the truth like you've been doing anyway. And maybe we'll never know. And then you can take communion in an unworthy manner. Please don't do that. My heart is grieved for you and for those trapped in sin of all kinds. Don't let another day go by. Please. This stuff tormented me for a long time. And I know it's tormenting some of you. It's a wonderful thing to be free. And it's a wonderful thing to have a woman that stayed with me. A miracle that I'm standing here before you. And it's a miracle. This doesn't even make sense to me. Eric and Sylvia Hurt are leading the church. What an amazing testament of the grace of God. And his grace in my life was not in vain. You see? So come as the Lord leads you and don't be afraid. The only thing that, I mean, if you're afraid of walking in the light and walking in the power of the Spirit, friend, oh my gosh, it is amazing. The love that you can have for God and for others and for your wife and for your children. My children don't get how much I love them. Sometimes we say hard things to each other, but gosh, I love them all that I am. So come as the Lord leads you.
The scripture says that if we're free indeed.